Blog Talk Radio.
This is a unique time for Miami Hurricanes fans. Doesn't it feel as if there has been a bit of a pause in the 2023 football season? It seems like it's been years since that signature victory over Texas A&M. Since then, we've watched other programs around college football sucking all the oxygen out of the room, while Miami has scrimmaged with Bethune-Cookman and otherwise devoted itself to a lot of recruiting. We have watched Florida State sneak by Boston College and Florida surprisingly dominate Tennessee. We've seen Deion Sanders become the talk of college football. But Miami is still there working, maybe a bit more quietly than some of these other schools. And you have to ponder whether the Canes can make a run and become a primetime conversation piece as we go into October and November. So tonight, as we begin this new edition of Cane Sport Live, we're going to ask a simple question. Why not Miami? You have Temple this week, followed by an open week, and then a home game against Georgia Tech in which the Hurricanes should be comfortable favorites. That would set up a colossal moment on the national stage with a game at North Carolina on October 14th, where if the Tar Heels take care of their own business, there's a great chance it would be on primetime television at night and might even lure game day to Chapel Hill. So why not the Hurricane? Let's talk about what you think about that tonight on Cane Sport Live. Hello again, everybody. I'm Gary Furman, the publisher of CaneSport.com, and we welcome you once again to Cane Sport Live. As always, this is your show. It'll be driven by your participation. The call-in number is 563-999-3550, 563-999-3550. You hit the 1 on your keypad if you would like to come on the show. That puts you in the queue, and then we bring you on the show in the order that you land in the queue. Very simple. This year, I will once again be joined by Azubi Charles as we take your calls and discuss the various issues surrounding the Miami Hurricanes and recruiting. This is your show, and it's going to be driven by your participation. Like I said, we have more than 100 open phone lines, plenty of room for everybody to call in, listen, participate, whatever your desire might be on this Tuesday night. So we've watched a lot of college football so far this fall, and I'm not sure that we are seeing an ultra-dominant team other than maybe Georgia, you know, maybe Michigan. But even Georgia struggled a little bit the other day against a South Carolina team that lost to North Carolina, only winning by 10 points at home. Alabama struggled against South Florida. FSU almost lost the other day at Boston College. The point is that there's a lot of parity in college football right now, and a lot of teams out there, including Miami, that are playing for a lot at this point of the season and are certainly relevant to the conversation. So, Azubi, let me start with you. Welcome back to Cane Sport Live. I know you've enjoyed your time on this show. Having fun with the people, we'll say. We'll steal a phrase from The Rock. And, you know, what are your thoughts? Why not Miami?
Yeah, no, if you take a look at, you know, the AP Top 25, you just kind of look at the first, you know, 10 schools, the top 10 schools. And like you mentioned, there's not one team that's just out here flat dominating everyone they play. You know, we saw Georgia the last 2 years pretty much, you know, cakewalk everybody they play. But like you mentioned, you know, Georgia looked a little suspect versus South Carolina. Michigan is Michigan. They can't win a big game to save their lives. Florida State almost got upset. USC has no defense. Ohio State's kind of looked iffy this year. Penn State, Washington, you know, the list goes on. It's just schools that, you know, there's not just one team that you say, okay, this is kind of the front runner. And like you mentioned, you know, why not Miami? Obviously, you know, they're kind of, I wouldn't say exceeding expectations so far this year, but, you know, they're looking much better than a lot of people thought they would three games into the year with two new offensive coordinators. And if Miami keeps winning, this momentum keeps building, man, you know, those three big games that I kind of have circled as, you know, Miami's hardest games this season in North Carolina, Clemson, and Florida State, as the games get closer, they're looking more winnable and winnable as the day goes on, you know. And obviously you can't slip up and your first big road game, you can't get ahead of the schedule, kind of have to focus on the week you're in now. But if Miami keeps that same mentality, which it seems like they've kind of established that, hey, 1 week at a time, let's go 1-0, let's go 1-0 type of deal, I don't see why Miami can't, you know, surprise some people even more this year and kind of, you know, make some stuff stick towards the end of the year, maybe potentially, you know, playing an ACC championship. And I'm not going to get ahead of myself and say, you know, a college football championship, but you never know this day and age and how this season is going on so far.
Now, I'm not going to lie, man. Like, I see how fragile this whole thing is. I mean, there are guys on this team that you just can't afford to have an injury or be sidelined for an extended period of time. I mean, you know, Van Dyke, any offensive lineman that starts. I mean, there's one backup that you can count on. I mean, and that's Matthew McCoy, and he has played very little football. I'll throw Mesidor. Like, we don't know what's up with Mesidor. Like, we don't know if we're going to see him at Temple. We don't know when he might be back. He's had injury problems, even going back to last year. That Miami defensive line looks a lot different when Mesidor is not on the field. So it's held together, you know, by rubber bands or, you know, whatever term you want to use. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But at the same time, there's been a lot of positives so far this season. We've seen a lot of good things. And, you know, why not Miami? Yeah, any more thoughts, Azubi, before we go to the calls?
Yeah, no, I think we kind of all summed it up. Yeah, I mean, the health is kind of the biggest, you know, question mark. Obviously, hopefully, you know, Cam comes back in a reasonable time frame, and up front, the big guys can stay healthy, and, you know, the defensive line is kind of shaking up a little bit. Obviously, Mesidor, you know, Branson Dean and Nigel Leaker are a little bit banged up, but in due time, I think they'll come back if it's not serious injuries. You know, we saw them walk in Thursday versus Bethune-Cookman, and if there's a time to kind of sit your guys and, you know, let guys get healthy, I feel like this is the perfect time before we get into ACC play. Two very beatable opponents, and then Georgia Tech, which is a team Miami should be able to handle fairly, you know, easily, not saying they're a pushover. But if you want to, you know, give some guys a little bit of rest, this is the easiest part of your schedule before the gauntlet of the ACC comes up. So I feel like if Miami can stay healthy and all the things that, you know, we've talked about in the opening segment happens, I feel like, you know, Miami can continue to shock some people and make some noise, you know, in postseason play this year.
All right, the number again is 563-999-3550, 563-999-3550. You hit the 1 on your keypad if you'd like to come on tonight's show. Why not Miami? Let's go find out. Let's go to the 786, where I think that's Everything 305 is live on Kane Sport Live. Why not Miami, Everything?
Gary, Zuby, how you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good.
Great,
doing?
great.
Why not Miami? Well, we've got about four guys. If any of those four guys get hurt, that's why it's not Miami. Just kidding there, Gary.
I agree.
I don't worry about those things. I can't even look that far ahead. Just worried about Temple on Saturday, to be honest with you. First road game of the year, probably going to be missing at least two or three guys. So an opportunity for younger guys to step up. Really enjoying what I'm seeing from Wayne and Bain. That combination is going to really wreak havoc, hopefully, for the next couple of years here. But I think right now we just have to enjoy what we're doing and still be a little not leery, but at least respectful of what we're trying to do. And we're still not even close where we need to be. We have a defense that right now is really catered to the talent we have. We're still missing 56. I mean, he's there, but he's not there all the time. We're still missing a good guy in the middle that can plug things up. There's so many things that we've got to get better at. And you just hope as the year goes on, all those things start to come together and the light bulb comes on for some of these guys. I mean, it's time. It's time for these younger guys to go ahead and really start taking advantage of opportunities. And our older guys, Corey Flagg, I mean, he's playing at a really high level. That has to continue. So we're a long ways away, Gary.
Corey Flagg's amazing. It's like every year you spend the whole offseason, everybody wants to replace him. You know, when are we going to get better linebackers than Corey Flagg, blah, 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 blah. That kid every year emerges from the fray as a very key guy on defense. Now, no argument last year that you're talking about a 5-7 team. But, like, the point is it's not so easy to replace a guy that just comes and does his job, shows up every week, and keeps his head down to the grinder. It's, you know, those guys are not easy to replace in college football.
They're not, but Gary, I think you also have to look the benefit of having 3 years of experience going into this year.
Correct.
The benefit of coming in with a good football IQ, which he did come in. He was very well coached in high school out there in Houston. I mean, he's got a lot of good things going his way when he got here. But I think he's putting things together. And, you know, is he the ultimate matchup we want against a running back coming out of the backfield or on a wheel route or a tight end that's really deceptive? On a slant, no, he's not that guy. He's not, never going to be that guy, but we don't need him to be that guy. We've got other guys that can do that, but he can still perform the main duties that he's got to perform in this defense, and I think that's what plays to his strengths. Unlike the scheme we had last year, which really was predicated on how well guys up front could do in terms of, you know, occupying two gaps. It's a totally different scheme, Gary.
No doubt. And, you know, it's funny. I was reading the story yesterday, and I don't know if this is true or not. I don't have time to worry about Alabama. But there was a story out where Lane Kiffin, who plays Alabama, I think this week, was suggesting
– this Saturday.
Yeah, this Saturday, yeah. He was suggesting that Nick Saban no longer has Kevin Steele calling the defensive plays at Bama, and that now T-Rob has taken over calling the defense. I mean, is it possible Kevin Steele got bumped out after a game or two? That'd be unbelievable. But, that's a story circulating, and Kiffin was suggesting that they would be preparing for both defensive coordinators for this week's game.
Well, if you know anything about Lane, you know he's going to troll you, and that's definitely a troll job there. I think he's trying to really throw salt in the wounds right now. That defense right now is, that whole program right now is not sure where they're at right now. There's a lot of guys that are questioning things across the board. It's not just, you know, what we're seeing on TV on Saturday. There's a lot of inner things going on there. So, obviously, I think what he was doing is taking advantage of that opportunity and just throwing some more salt there. But if I had to put money down, and I don't know about you, but if I had to put money down, I'm still picking Alabama on Saturday. How about you?
I'll be honest, I haven't really thought about it yet. I guess the game's at Bama, right?
Yeah. I'm always going to go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think coming off the Texas loss, they're going to be a little salty there, and yeah, I would have to probably agree with you. I'll get Lee Sterling's opinion on this when we do the You Bet Kane Sports Show, but yeah, I would on face value, thinking about it right now, Alabama already having lost the game at home. You know, I don't know. I think they're going to be pretty geeked up for that game.
Yeah, they're going to be ready. And they're going to be healthier than they were last week. So they're going to be just fine. I got to ask you guys a question here. We were talking about it at breakfast today. who's the best wide receiver we have on this team right now?
I mean, I would say Colby Young, Azubi.
I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I think, like, if you're looking, like, prototypical NFL guy, Colby Young. But, I mean, I'm going to say Jacoby George with this one. Just, you know, after the catchability, kind of the wild card, I feel like. Obviously, we know Xavier Strippo is that, you know, real consistent guy. He's going to make, you know, those catches over the middle, and Kobe Young's kind of that big guy. But for some reason, I just really like Jakobi George and what he brings to the table, and, you know, his playmaking after the catch. And obviously, he had that little muff punt, and then he came back and scored 3 touchdowns. Just for some reason, I just really like Jakobi George. I'm going with Jakobi George as the best wide receiver on the team.
We had 3 different answers at breakfast as well, and I'm going to go with Xavier. I'm going to tell you why. Without that security blanket, Tyler isn't the same quarterback. I think he brings a certain level of trust. And,
I mean, you could argue for any of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something.
A good argument.
There's just something about that kid, Gary.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
if I make
some great plays. Isaiah Horton's made a great play. I mean, you've seen some guys really make some great plays. There's no doubt about it. But I just think everything begins with him. And if you take Xavier away in a game plan, I think it opens up a lot of things for everybody else.
Yep. I mean, you could certainly make that out. You could argue for any of those 3 guys right now. That's how well they're all playing. I know Colby Dry, you know, he had a rough couple moments there in the Bethune game. But yeah, physically, he's at a higher level than the other two. Productivity-wise, you can't argue with Restrepo. I mean, he just gets it done, and his connection with Tyler Van Dyke allows him to probably do a little bit more than he probably would if there was another quarterback out there. And then Jakobi George, give the kid credit, man. He's doing all the right things this season. He's got his act together off the field and on, and he's just flat performing. So, yeah, man, it's like, you know, you got 3 different answers from the 3 of us, and I think that's very fair.
No doubt about it. The next position we were discussing, which I really just can't figure out, what's happened to the kid that was he was coming as one of the best tight ends in the country. This is year 2 for him. I still don't even think he's put on any muscle.
Jaleel Skinner.
What's going on?
I'll tell you what's happened.
Yeah.
He is not doing all the right things. He is not working as hard in the off seasons as he should. He's not showing up as a better player when training camp begins. And he's now the number 4 tight end on this football team. That's what's happening. And that means they're recruiting better. And if you don't have your act together and you're on this Miami Hurricanes team now, the way they recruit both traditionally in high school and the transfer portal, you are going to get passed up.
It's just disappointing. I really saw. I thought he had a really high ceiling. I think he still
it's
does.
It's only disappointed if you have a bias towards him. I mean, listen, this Riley Williams kid is better. It's just flat better. I don't even think it's close. And Arroyo is better. And I don't even think it's close. And then this McCormick guy, who's like 25 years old and just beats the crap out of people, he's making noise. He's trying to get the NCAA to let him come back for a 9th season of college football. And let me tell you something. If he can pull that off, I mean, the fact that he's already gotten the 8, that guy is absolutely my idol. I think back to when I was in college. If I could have gone to college, and I know Azubi's going to back me up on this because I know he feels this way. If I could have gone to college for 8 years, oh, my God, man. I mean, my life would have been complete at 25, okay? Like, I wouldn't have had to live a day longer. How about you, Azubi?
Yeah, no, sign me up for that 8-year program, man. Give me all the degrees possible. Let me enjoy my college life for 8 years and maybe a 9th. Like I said, sign me up. If someone has that ready to go, you know, lock Azubi Charles in for his 9th year of college football or college in general, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Azubi, I mean, he didn't even go to Miami. Azubi went, I mean, it's his business. I'm not going to say where he went to school. But, like, he didn't even go to Miami. Okay, imagine if he had gone to Miami and was walking around there with, like, you know, some of the stuff that's going around at Miami. I mean, Azubi, 8 years at Miami? Yeah, trust me, he'd have been a happy guy.
Speaking of defense here, Gary, I had to bring this up. When you look at that defensive back room, there's so much talent, but the thing that gets me is some of the talent that just transferred in and how well. It's like you watch them. If you watch them in, you know, in between possessions and when they're on the sideline, when they get together and you look at their group getting together with their coach, it's just like it's a different, like, chemistry altogether. It's a different camaraderie. I mean, I see guys engaged to one another. I see guys really as they come on and off the field. It's like Dave's doing a phenomenal job balancing all the transfers, the young guys they have, and the returners. I think he really hasn't gotten enough credit, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, you're making a good point there, I think.
I mean, looking at watching this team last year on the sideline, especially the Georgia Tech game, with all the things we saw on the offensive side, but the defense, I just, you know, never really saw anything but just guys just being by themselves pretty much. Now it's like they're all engaged. You know, I think Guidry has done a great job, but there's certain coaches that have returned that are still position coaches here, and I think their buy-in, I mean, it's really evident as to what's going on with these
Guidry, groups. The thing about Guidry, he has a personality that is magnetic with kids, and the kids love him. They play hard when they're coached by him, and it's just a really nice culture and chemistry that they have on this team right now. And, you know, you don't have any bad apples that I can see. You don't have people disrupting this culture that I'm talking about. They just have their heads down to the grinder, trying to get better, 1 week at a time, and hopefully they don't get deviated from that, you know, because there's no reason that they should. They haven't done a dang thing yet, okay? Texas A&M, nice victory, but they have their whole season out in front of them, and it remains to be written how good this team is or isn't. And the best way that they can handle that is by getting better every single day.
On the recruiting front, Azubi, anything that really has surprised you in the last week with 24s in particular?
One thing I was surprised was seeing LJ McCray become a 5-star prospect in the newest On3 rankings. Right? I thought that was pretty interesting to see for one of Miami's top targets, a guy that they really like, a guy that's been high on for a long time. And that just kind of goes to show how, well they're evaluating guys, because LJ McCray was, ever since the summer, ever since, the end of last year, his stock has been slowly rising. And Miami's been with him, since day one. And I feel like there hasn't been anything like crazy recruiting-wise or any huge developments, but I feel like that's kind of another, pat on the back for Mario Cristobal and his guys for, figuring out who they want early on in the process, evaluating that and finding the talent. And kind of now you see, one of their top guys that they've been after for a long time, take that 5-star status. But football-wise, nothing crazy yet. Obviously, didn't have any recruits at the game or anything like that, no guys on campus. But basketball has been a little bit interesting, too. They just got another 4-star guy and have a big 5-star, Jahlil Bethea, that's announcing his commitment tomorrow. That should be interesting, So on the basketball front, I'd say there's a little bit more action on the football front right now, but I do expect that to change, as the week goes on.
All right, everything. I got to let you run.
Thank you
so much for getting us started tonight.
Okay.
All right, man. We'll talk to you next week. All right, 563-999-3550. 563-999-3550 is the number. You hit the 1 on your keypad if you'd like to come on the show. Let's go out to the 321. You're live on Kane Sport Live.
Gary, what's going on, buddy? This is Tony from Melbourne. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Tony? How you doing, my man?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to jump on and make a few points. I've been waiting and watching film on all the games. We definitely are a completely different team this year. I would say tackling and, on top of that, hitting. We are definitely a different type of team as far as hitting people this year. And I would definitely say number 20 looks like a monster. If you go back to the Texas A&M game, he looked like a monster.
Yeah, they're tackling much better this year, too, on defense.
And another thing I'm watching, when we finish runs, we literally have linemen carrying guys down the field. That's a sign of a great offensive line. I don't see that in any normal average or below average offensive line. That's a sign of a great offensive line. And Nez Cooper, he definitely gets his flowers from me.
Well, they might get to last year's win total by the first week of October. Okay, so yeah, this is a much better football team. But they have to stay the course. They can't think of it in those terms because they're tougher moments.
You think
moments
Mario's going to let them get off of the course?
No, I don't think he's going to let them do that.
One more thing I wanted to add, man. I know you are aware of all of this Miami Hurricane alumni going to the Colorado game and all of this love everybody's throwing Colorado's way. Basically, the media and everybody else is jumping on their bandwagon, including our fans as well. I would like to say you are either a Cane or you are a Buffalo. It ain't no in-between. I've been a Canes fan for most of my life.
No.
You don't get to pick and choose.
Now, I got to tell you something.
And we will beat them by 20.
I want to talk about this more. So please don't hang up because this is a hot-button topic this week. And there's a lot of emotions, man. I mean, you know, it starts with Michael Irvin. It extends to Warren Sapp,
yep.
Who might, by the way, become a staff member at Colorado. And then on top of it, you end up with The Rock on game day, which was kind of coincidental. I mean, he was in Denver to do WWE. You know, he's making his return to WWE. He was in Denver to tape SmackDown on Friday night, and he booked an appearance on the Pat McAfee show Friday earlier in the day that happened to be broadcast from Boulder and then went back Saturday. He stayed in town and went back Saturday for the game. He comes on the show. He did get a segment to talk about Miami, which was
he did.
Great.
They gave The Rock that. I will say
which
that.
I thought that was great. And then he's got Deion Sanders handing him a pair of his sunglasses. I mean, you know, but
exactly.
It's crazy. Crazy. But,
it's basically negative recruiting, man, the way I look at it. I don't
They are setting it up for that. Deion is trying to model that program after Miami. There's no doubt about it. And even Miami didn't have Lil Wayne leading the team out of the tunnel doing a live rap. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean,
star you can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, all of this is stoking a lot of emotions in the Canes fan.
I don't like it. I didn't like it before they went out there, to be honest with you. So, like, to see that. I mean, first, it started with Uncle Luke. And even I know we have a weird relationship with Uncle Luke at the University of Miami. But it started with him, you know what I mean? But, you know, I just wanted to say that as far as the fans, you know, I get Michael Irvin, he does work in the, you know, sports atmosphere, and that is his friend. I do get that, you know what I mean?
Well, he and Deion, I think, worked together at NFL Network, right?
I'm pretty sure they did, and I'm pretty sure
Michael Irvin got Deion into the gig. Like, I think that they're friends.
But he ain't have to wear Buffalo gear, though.
I understand that. But it's really interesting because, you know, we have I don't know if you're on our canesport.com website. I hope you are. But, you know, people are going at it on the message boards. And somebody was counting and said there were 18 threads on our message board about Colorado the other day. On Saturday, the ratings, by the way, of their game, I've got it. Well, I mean, I'll look it up and I'll tell you what it was. But let's see, Saturday night's Colorado State game was the fifth most. Now check this out. You're talking about a 10 o'clock game Eastern time, okay, on ESPN. So the whole East Coast is getting ready to go to bed. All right. The Colorado State game was the fifth most watched college football game ever, capital E, ever on ESPN.
Wow.
Okay?
Wow.
Ever. The fifth most watched game ever. Okay? So obviously my point is people want to talk about Deion. People want to watch Deion. Deion is the talk of college football right now. So the other day on our canesupport.com message boards, there's 18 threads, and I'm trusting the count of one of our posters, and people wanted to talk about Colorado. There were 18 threads talking about Colorado on a Miami Hurricanes message board. And I'm getting pounded by our subscribers. You know, delete these threads. Move them. We have a board that's nicked like a, I don't know if you're on the site, so I'll act, you know, we have a message board that we call the lounge, which is off-topic conversation. And people are telling me, move those threads to the lounge. Ban these people. Why are they talking Colorado on a Miami site?
I agree with them. If I'm watching, listen,
except for one
this
thing.
Is why that game, let me tell you why that game was the fifth most watched. Let me tell you why that game was the fifth most watched.
Fifth most watched, not this year, in the history of
In the history. And let me tell you why. Because everything you saw on your Facebook, on your Instagram, on ESPN, on the internet, was everything about Deion, everything about Colorado Buffaloes. Gary, are you there? Put me on hold, man.
So messed up on me, what happened?
Sorry, I think my audio went haywire there for a minute. But we lost Tony. But what I was saying was that people want to talk about Colorado. Colorado is the talk of college football. And Canes fans are no different than anybody else. And I'm not so sure that people should be so offended, you know, by the notion that people want to talk about Colorado. And you know, it's something that we can continue to discuss as the night goes on, but it's an interesting subject. There's no question about it. All right, 563-999-3550, 563-999-3550 is the number. You hit the number one on your keypad if you'd like to come on the show. Let's go out now to the 757. You are live on Canesport Live.
Azubi, Gary, I'm going to be so laid back tonight, man. Ain't no need to shout, scream, hell. We got a lot of things to work on. Every team do. We look good, 37 yards in the first half with the first-string defense, offense, people catching balls. We got 25 damn running backs. Hell, what more do you want? What more do we need? We got Temple this week. They beat the crap out of Northern State. Okay, no biggie. We still got to worry about them. Got to worry about everybody. Yeah, why not Miami? I say the same thing. Forget FSU. Clemson and Florida State play this weekend. Yeah, we'll see what's going with that. I ain't worrying about nobody else. Texas A&M. I thought it'd be Florida State, but, you know, Boston College always gives people a hard get. It's always a hard get with Boston College. Even when Ed Reed intercepted that ball and went all the way down the field, we were real good, and they damn near beat us. So we still got a lot of things to work on, and Miami looks real good, and ain't no need for a whole bunch of talking, screaming and yelling. But I'm bringing it back. Oh, yeah, I'll be back with the loudness real quick. And I will be back up in Miami. That's for this Sunday for the Dolphins, and then 2 weeks later when we play Georgia Tech. So I'm going to find you. I don't know if I'm going to make the Carolina game or stuff like that because, shit, I just can't get off work like that. You know,
Don't you live in Carolina, Ken Kane?
No, I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Seven. Yeah,
oh,
I'm
Virginia
in the,
Beach,
I'm near the
okay.
ocean front. Yeah, I'm in Virginia Beach. So,
how far are you from Chapel Hill?
3 hours, but that ain't the problem. The problem is my boss
come on,
man. Costco. No, hold on. You got to understand. Bro, hold on. I got season tickets to Miami. I get on a plane this Saturday. I get on a plane in 2 weeks from that. I'm coming to the Georgia Tech. Then I'm coming back to Clemson. Then I'm coming back that next week to Virginia. Bro, I can't tell my boss give me all the time off. Now, if you want to pay my rent and my car, no shit, I'll go to every game. Every game. Tell him, Zuby, I'll come. I ain't going to play. They ain't ready to get me routed. Oh, damn. Well, you know, I ain't even going to go there. Where Greg at? He ain't get on first. Where's Meister Kane? Where everybody? I'm going to give a shout-out to all y'all Kane fans. Enjoy this night. I'm getting ready to get off. Ain't no need to scream, shout, and holler. It's all good. See y'all at the Temple game. Let's keep ass and keep it moving. I love it. 305, ride or die. Like I say, peace, y'all.
Oh, hey, you're going to be at Temple game this weekend?
No, I'm not. Only I'll be at the Georgia Tech game. I'm gonna try to find you that Georgia Tech game. You and the Zoo. You say you got to put a face to the words of the man. Like I said, ain't none of this script. This comes off the top. Fast, fire, and fierce. You know, I'm like, you know, y'all buddy that y'all talking about. And make a quick thing about Deion. Deion been like that all his life. He just been that way. I mean, they can win every game, but they can't beat us. I don't give a damn. I don't care how many games they win. If we undefeated, they undefeated. We better beat the other dog crap out of them. Point blank, period. But like you said, it's entertainment, and people like it, and he got them going the right way. But that's cool. Stay on that side. We going to run this shit here. Why not Miami? Tell them, Gary, why not Miami? I'm out.
That's what I told them. I told them why not Miami. I already did that. I agree, but 1 week at a time, one game at a time.
Yeah, one game at a time. Yeah, we'll start off with Temple. Yeah, because you know what'll happen. Oh, boy, we played like shit. Oh, Kane suck. Here come the fans on your message board. They suck. We garbage. Man, what the hell? We great against Texas A&M. We did okay against, Bethune. And now we shit it. Come on, man. Everybody, look at Alabama. South Florida took them to the brink until they said, we're going to run this ball down their throat last Saturday. And they ran and ran, and they won the game, but they barely won. So, hey.
So, who wins
we
this weekend? Ole Miss at Bama. Who wins?
I don't like Nick Saban punk ass. You know why? I'm going with Ole Miss. I don't like the way he did the Miami Dolphins. That punk, he was there. He wanted the money, right? I'm going to make this quick. So, he gets on the phone. Hi, hello, Dolphins fans. I'm not coming back. Jason Taylor and all them. Certain people can't do the pros because you can't tell them what to do. Just like somebody asked Deion, would you go? He said, hell no, I ain't messing with them. They make more money than me. So, you know, Nick Saban just called the Dolphins when he left. Punk bitch, never liked him. He can go on about it then. I hope they get beat. And if he don't go to the playoffs, he going to retire soon because, you know, he don't like losing. So if he don't win this year and say they don't get there next year, he'll probably hang it up. Good for him because Mario and them, we getting ready to run this jank 305 ride or die. Damn FSU. Damn Carolina, I ain't thinking about none of that. Drake May, we're going to blast that. He had two interceptions last week. He's not all that. God damn it, I'm sick of this shit. But, hey, I'm getting off this phone, Gary. You got other people that want to talk some real shit. I'm out. Peace. Hey, it's Ruby.
All right.
Watch it, Gary. Watch them. Peace.
All right, Kane. Thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you next week. I don't know. I mean, that guy's a pretty passionate fan of Zuby. But he's not going to drive 3 hours from Virginia Beach, from his palatial estate on the water in Virginia Beach, that he wants me to pay the rent so he can come to the game in North Carolina, a three-hour drive away? I don't know, Zuby. I think he should be going to that boss and saying certain things are more important than others. And I think Kane needs to get himself to the North Carolina game. What do you think?
I think it's just awesome that he makes it. He lives in Virginia and has season tickets to the Hurricanes and the Dolphins. I feel like that's enough dedication right there to miss, you know, a USC game.
He's not driving 3 hours. 3 hours. You're talking about 3 hours from Virginia Beach to Chapel Hill. I mean, how do you – like, that's going to be if things fall in North Carolina, they have to beat Pitt this weekend. No argument, okay, at Pitt. But if things fall right and they can get that done, you're talking about a massive game, man. Like, that's a big game at North Carolina. So I don't know.
Yeah, no,
we shall see.
That game's going to be a big one, for sure.
But we got a couple more weeks to work on them, so we'll stay on Kane. All right, 563-999-3550, 563-999-3550 is your number. You hit the 1 on your keypad. If you'd like to come on the show, that will put you in the queue. We will bring you on the show in the order you land on the queue. Let's go now to the 646. You are live on Kane Sport Live.
Hey, what's up, Gary? BK Hurricane.
Hey, what's up, BK? How you been, man?
I'm hanging in there. I missed the show last week. I was working, man. I'm sorry about that.
Working? What's with everybody working?
Real quick.
What's with all these jobs? Wait a minute. What's with all these jobs getting in the way of the Canes? Like, Kane, you're working. You don't call the show. Kane claims he has to work. He's not going to the North Carolina game. Like, what's going on here this year?
Well, Gary, somebody got to pay the rent, you know?
Oh, so now I got to pay your rent, too, now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, might as well. Shit.
Azubi, we got to start working harder, man. We got to pay everybody's rent.
Oh, no, I need to do something. I need to hit Lotto or something. Listen, real quick, in the beginning.
Anyway, go ahead.
You mentioned parity, right?
Yeah.
I think this is a consequence of NIL. Because when was the last time Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson didn't arguably have the best three quarterbacks at the same time?
Good point.
Yeah.
The field is leveling out. That's what we're seeing here. Like when we say, why not Miami? The one equalizer that we have that most teams don't have, a handful of teams have a great quarterback, and we got one of them. And we have one. USC has one. We have one. Alabama doesn't have one. Clemson doesn't have one. Ohio State definitely doesn't have one. But Texas has one. It's Oregon. Bo Nix is pretty good. You're seeing NIL starting to creep up and starting to level the playing field. Playing field is slowly starting to level, and that's because of NIL. You're seeing five stars now commit to teams that they would never commit to before. I think Missouri has a five star now or two.
Yeah, you know? Missouri, Texas Tech.
Yeah, everybody has five stars now. Alabama's not rounding up all the five stars anymore. Clemson is not rounding up all those teams. LSU, they don't have a lock on the five star market anymore. You're seeing five stars going. Oklahoma has five stars now. I mean, Oklahoma's always been good, but for them stacking five stars was just crazy. It's crazy. This whole thing.
You're making.
You said why not Miami? Why not Miami? If we stay healthy. If we stay healthy, we could be a problem. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to do X, Y, and Z. I'm just saying if we could stay healthy, we could be a problem. And back to this Deion thing. This Deion thing has got to be scaring every coach in college football.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them win this year.
He's got their attention, no doubt.
He's got everybody's attention. I mean, it's still early, but if this guy pulls off 10 wins, 9-10 wins, the market is going to flip again for college coaches. You're going to see people throwing $12 million at Mario. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what we're going to be seeing. Everybody's going to want somebody that can come in and do what Deion is doing. They're going to back him with a lot of NIL money. Listen. If you really look at it, Colorado has a really good coaching staff. They got some NFL guys mixed in with some seasoned college football guys. They win 9-10 games. They might mess around and have the number one recruiting class in the country. They might. And they back that up with some NIL money. Deion is going to be a problem. He's going to be a big problem for college football. I mean,
should the people inside the Miami program be annoyed or feel threatened by these former players that are showing up in Colorado, by the fact that everybody's talking about Colorado?
I don't think so, because these are all South Florida guys. They know Deion Sanders probably. Grew up knowing Michael Irvin, for all we know. Isn't Deion Sanders a South Florida guy, too?
Kind of. Yeah,
all these guys are friends, like Warren Sapp, Deion Sanders. What you're seeing is people around, and you have to take this into consideration, too. You're seeing a black head coach accomplish what he's accomplishing. So the black community is rallying behind him. And the University of Miami has a lot of predominantly great African-American players. So they're backing another great guy that just happens to be their friend. And he's modeling, and you were right, he's modeling that whole program after University of Miami. The entire program is built the way Miami was built. Back in the day, the kids have this sense of confidence about them. You know, they go out prepared and they just play football. Just like we used to do in our heyday, they just play football. He's got football players on that team. He got rid of, what, 85, 90% of the team? Replace them. Replace 70 guys.
Mm-hmm.
70. And look at the results. Now, look what's about getting ready to happen at Michigan State. They just fired Mel Tucker. What's that?
What do you think of that? What do you think of that one? Did they do the right thing? Did he deserve to take $80 million contract yanked away from him for that? Or did they use it as an excuse to fire him and get out of the $80 million contract?
They weren't getting a good return on their investment. That's what that was.
Correct. And they used it as an excuse.
If he was putting up Deion Sanders numbers, they would have suspended him a few games, and that would have been the end of it.
Correct. They screwed up when they gave him the contract in the first place, and they used the first excuse they could find to get out of it. And there's going
to
be a hell of a lawsuit there. That thing is, you have not heard the last of that. That is going to get ugly, and there is going to be a hell of a lawsuit there with that you argue that having phone sex with a woman is grounds to get fired from your $80 million job. I mean, wow.
Right.
Wow. I
mean, that Michigan State program might not recover from this anytime soon.
Yeah, I agree, man. That whole thing is a disaster. Like, that thing is just bad. On top of the Larry Nassar stuff and everything that's gone on at Michigan State, I mean, that place is just falling apart at the seams.
Yeah.
But, yeah. This is going to get really ugly. This is going to be a brutal one, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be real brutal. And just real quick before I get off, number one, why not Miami? And number two, Florida State has the 103rd ranked defense in all of college football. I'm not scared.
Yep.
I'm not.
We'll see in November what they're playing like, you know. But, no, there isn't a team on the schedule that Miami should be scared of. Now, that doesn't mean they're going
to
win every game. I mean, there's real games ahead on the road there, like against other good teams. But can't have injuries, though, in those key spots. All right, BK.
Believe it or not.
Thank you, man.
I'm more worried about North Carolina than Clemson.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you got to worry about all of them, quite frankly.
North Carolina, but I'm more worried about North Carolina than Clemson.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean.
They just seem to have our number. I don't know what it is. It's like they do voodoo before the game and they win. I don't know.
You know, we haven't been very good in the past years. We'll know if we've really gotten better that day, because that's going to be a real defensive challenge. All right, PK, thank you for being part of the show, man. All right, 563-999-3550, 563-999-3550 is the number. You hit the 1 on your keypad if you'd like to come on the show. Let's go now to the 786. You are live on Kane Sport Live.
Hello?
Yep, that's you. Who's this?
Okay, I'm coming.
What's up, man? How you doing this week?
I'm great, actually. Why not the Canes? Because
why not the Canes?
Why not? It's no other team out there showed me that they're completely dominant. It's just a matter of health. In my opinion, it's just a matter of UM staying healthy. If they stay healthy, it's nobody they can't beat. And why I would say that is, Gary, through the first three games, the offensive coordinator has shown America three different styles, sort of, kind of. Meaning, the first two games, we didn't see any quarterback keepers from Tyler Van Dyke. We didn't see certain plays or whatever the case may be. So it's sort of kind of as if he's holding the playbook back. Not, we're going to give you something this week, but you're going to see it on film. But when you come back to practice it, I mean, when you come to play it, it might be something else. So I like where we're going. I like our direction. It's like I said, nobody out there scares me. And as far as the players with Colorado and all that. See, Gary, you've been around long enough. I've been around long enough. That's the one thing. We college football is totally different when UM is winning. It's just a total. Those are facts. Those are facts. So it shouldn't really be no pressure with Irvin and Sapp and all them going to Colorado. Go support the guy. Cool, whatever, whatever. Kane's going to be Kane, and we're going to do what we're going to do. And at the same time, Gary, all UM have to do is win. That's all they have to do is win. Now, if UM winning and Colorado winning, you think a lot of these South Florida kids don't want to go up to that snow when you have all this Miami is offering right here in your backyard?
Hey, I don't know how long he's going to be there.
That's the thing. Like, I mean, well, at the end of the day, everyone has to realize this is business. It's not personal. And too many of the fans, they're taking it personal because at the end of the day, Gary, everyone that's listening to this show, including you, Matt, Azubi, and all the rest of you guys, at the end of the day, Gary, we have to do what's best for our families. Just like with these kids going to college, they're making decisions that they feel is best for them and their family. So it's like, go where you're going to go. If he going to be there, he going to be there. If he going to leave, he going to leave. Me personally, Gary, this is the type of Kane fan I am. I don't give two, let alone one, F-U-C-K's about another program. I don't. I could care less what any other program is doing. I'm only worried about that school that's in Dade County in Carl Gables. That's it. If we win, everything else, Gary, you know this, everything else, it takes care of itself. It really does. It's sort of kind of, it's self-explanatory. All we have to do is win. And I'm just so proud of the team as a whole. Because, like last week, you had what can they do to get better? And I stated to you, Gary, all they need to do is just work on the scheme. Like, we have the athletes. We seem like we have the coaches. We on the right track. So if we get the scheme and they get the hit and they stride, we're going to cause problems. We're going to cause major problems in college football. And you know, just like I know, Gary, just like I told you about 2 weeks ago, and when I say this, you can put me on hold. Everybody talking about Colorado in the sidelines, blah, 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 blah. Okay, cool. No problem. If UM starts winning again, the only thing America's going to hate more than Donald Trump is the Miami Hurricanes. Put me on hold, Gary.
All right, man. Hey, thank you so much for being part of the show. Great points. All right, 563-999-3550. You hit the number one on your keypad if you'd like to come on the show. Let's go now to the 727. You are live on Kane Sport Live.
Hey, Gary. It's Jake from St. Pete. How you doing?
What's going on, Jake? How you doing this week?
Oh, enraged by this Colorado Buffaloes thing. It's one thing
that's
gotten more annoying.
Why are you outraged? Everyone's outraged.
You know what? So this is where I love having Alonzo Highsmith because, you know, like Mario can't get into this fray with ex-players and whatnot while he's coaching the team, and I don't think he's really paying attention all that much. I love the fact that Alonzo Highsmith took to Twitter and called out bullshit on all these guys.
For those that didn't see it, let me just read it real quick, Jake, so they know what you're talking about. Alonzo posted on Facebook and Instagram, I believe. Seems like every former player is a Colorado Buffalo now. I guess we'll just keep pressing on with a bunker mentality. It's us and only us, and I support Dion, but couldn't pay me to wear a Colorado Buffalo shirt. And then he posted a picture of Warren Sapp, Michael Irvin, and The Rock
all wearing Colorado shirts.
Yeah, that was, I mean, just awesome on his part. Good for him for calling out the BS there. I'll give Michael Irvin a small pass on that one. I would hope to never see this again and call it a lesson learned because, you know, the guy played with them for years in Dallas. He worked with them on NFL Network. That's a little different. You know, they've been friends for almost 30 years now. Okay, fine. But, like, The Rock, you know, get the hell out of here, man. Like, you know, he loves – anytime Miami starts getting good, he loves popping in and, you know, trying to get his little – 15 minutes. I know he's famous with or without the program, but, you know, I'm sorry. That's just, that's BS, putting on the jersey and going nuts like that on Colorado's sideline. Like, you know, hey, come on. Enough is enough. That's, and here's the thing. You know, everyone's anointed Deion Sanders. First of all, he's beat. Okay, TCU, fine. But they're garbage. They had, what'd they lose by 50-some points in the championship game? They could have lost by 100 if Georgia would have kept playing. They're about to get steamrolled this week, and hopefully this garbage just subsides, and you know, we can get back to rooting for the Miami Hurricanes on a Hurricanes website, God forbid.
I don't think that any of these guys that are talking about Colorado are not rooting for Miami. Like, you can walk and chew gum, you know? I'm not offended by it.
No, Gary, I know you love walking and chewing gum, but I'm sorry. This is a zero-sum game. This guy's coming for recruits. He's coming for transfers. You're my enemy. I'm sorry. You know, there's varying degrees. I mean, you know, there's FSU and there's do I hate Ole Miss like I do FSU? No, not at all. But they're all enemies when they're coming after our players, our recruits, our transfers. And I don't think he's the big, if you look, I was just looking it up before I hopped on. Last year they had the 30th ranked recruiting class, and this year they're currently sitting at 78 with eight commits. What he's doing isn't going to work. It's a little flash in the pan, but, you know, Mel Tucker had a good season too, doing what Deion Sanders did. He acts like he's never, you know, no one's ever done this before. Mel Tucker did this a couple of years ago, and almost to an extent Mario's done it. I mean, he's jettisoned half our roster in 18 months. You know, this isn't unheard of. And so it's like, okay, yeah, you've got a stud in Travis Hunter, but beyond that, what else do you have? I mean, you know, you got guys putting in effort, playing hard, fine. Okay, when a more talented team runs in town, they're going to get steamrolled. They had to take two overtimes to beat Colorado State. I mean, Colorado just literally vomited that game right into their lap. It was unbelievable. I think I stayed up till almost 3 o'clock watching that damn thing. And credit to him. I mean, me up till 3 a.m. watching that stupid game on Saturday. But yeah, no, it's hype. I can't believe how much we're in the middle of a 3-0 season. It looks like we're starting to get things resurged. And, all we're doing is blabbing about Colorado every other goddamn thread on the websites here. It's just nuts. But anyway, hey, I wanted to ask you, what do you think the odds are? I put this on a message board today, but these stupid Bethune-Cookman games, I mean, I get it that everyone does it. It's not unique to Miami. Everybody schedules a garbage team, but, like, why do they do this? Is there any chance this ends? I see no purpose, no point. What did we garner from last week, from last Thursday? We beat the shit out of a glorified high school team. Like, I think we'd be better off lining up against Miami Central or Chaminade than playing these stupid teams. At least we could have some fun with it. But,
No argument for me, Jake. They didn't even bring the band this year. I mean,
I heard the band didn't even show up.
You didn't even get a halftime show out of it.
Yeah, I didn't go to the game. It was a Thursday. I mean, I actually probably could have, but I don't want to. There's nothing fun about it. You're pummeling a team that's paying to fund their athletic department. Like, There's nothing sporting about that.
I'm guessing that Bethune and FAMU come a little cheaper than like the Miami Ohio's and Temples of the world and these other teams, and it's an easy win, and so they schedule it. But I agree with you. I think it's very short-sighted.
I'd rather take another, get rid of it. Do another Middle Tennessee or Temple where at least, like, hey, they got a puncher's chance like last year. Where, you know, hey, they can at least, you know, they can at least field a team. But, yeah, like, it's just, there's nothing fun about that game. And, I get that some of your younger guys play, but, like, you know, beat the crap out of Miami of Ohio then and get some of your younger guys in. We were able to do that week one. You know, like, it's just,
there's nothing fun. Hey, Jake, let me tell you something. I thought they got a lot out of that Miami-Ohio game. Miami-Ohio's turned out to be a decent team, and I think that the reason they dominated Texas A&M was because they played Miami-Ohio.
Oh, 100%. Like, the vibe at that game, I mean, just like, you know, because Miami of Ohio, they didn't want to get blown out, and so they just say, okay, no big plays, no over-the-top passing and everything, and they did anything they could to shut down our passing game. So we just said, fine, we're just going to ram the ball down your throat for four quarters and run for 300 yards on you.
But
it was the greatest thing ever.
You got a real dress rehearsal. It was a real dress rehearsal. It prepared
Playing Bethune prepares you for nothing. Yeah, you can't play 12 games against ranked opponents. Like, you know, these are still kids. They're not, you know, they got to go to class.
Miami, Ohio, and Temple are not ranked opponents. And,
yeah, no,
they,
but
you know, but it, they're, at least they'll get something out of the game. Miami's a 30-point favorite on Saturday, but they're going to get something out of that game. They're going to go on the road. They're going to have to prepare to play on the road. They're going to be able to play a lot of guys on the road. It's a live opponent, yes.
Yeah, that's 100%. And, you know, I just I like seeing it. But, you know, one of the things that I really like what I'm seeing this year, though, is I think, you know, Mario, one of the things, and I've been very vocal about this, I was just so worried he was going to be stuck in his ways. And I've always worried that he wants to win an Alabama championship in Miami. And it just seems like this year he's just he's gone outside himself and really stepped his game up to a new level. And he's just he's open for – this is Miami football. I mean, he's doing it a different way. And I'm just – I'm very glad that he changed course and that he – you know, he recognized that, like, hey, we're not going to win that Alabama. And to an extent, you know, he's still going to have his run game. He's still going to be stout on the lines and everything. But you're recruiting a different player. And, like, what's the purpose of recruiting South Florida if you can't let your wide receivers loose? I mean, that's the one asset that South Florida just produces in abundance. And it's just I'm really excited to see that he's kind of – you know, opened it up where, hey, whatever we got to do to win, and let's use what we what's at our disposal here to get it done. I'm loving it. I'm excited to see what happens this week. Yeah, not a whole lot to talk about because of Bethune, but I appreciate the show as always, and hopefully we'll be talking about a big win next week.
All right, Jake, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks for being part of the
appreciate
show.
Appreciate it, Gary. Yep, thank you.
You got it, man. Amazing, Azubi. The passionate feelings about this whole Colorado thing are amazing to me. Like, it's quite a dynamic.
Yeah, no, I saw I noticed that on the message board. I feel like every other thread was either it had Colorado Deion, Travis, Colorado Deion, or Travis Hunter. And I think it's fascinating. Like you said, you know, the fifth most watched college football game ever is like insane.
Colorado State.
if you ask me to guess which game this season would have been the fifth most watched ever last year at this time, I could have got a million tries. I wouldn't have guessed that. Crazy. And then you just see, like, I just saw a graphic on Twitter. Every single game is sold out now for the first time in school history for Colorado. He just, what he's doing is working, you know, whether it's good publicity or bad publicity or people, you know, not liking what he's doing. He's got everyone's eyes on that program, bringing attention to the guys, bringing attention to himself. So kudos to him for doing that. And, you know, obviously they start off 3-0, and things are going to get a little bit rough right now. But he's done, you know, everything right now for those guys over there. And like you said, we had 17 threads on a Miami Hurricane site talking about Deion Sanders in Colorado when we're 3-0, when we're looking good. You know, that says a lot, man. But I might be a little hometown biased because he's from Fort Myers. But, you know, I'm loving what Deion's doing over there, and I wish him nothing but the best, honestly.
It's impressive what he's doing. And, like, to me, like, yeah, I get the whole thing, and I get, you know, why it's a threat and all that. But if there's 17 threads on a subject, that means people want to talk about that subject, and that's what a message board is for. And it's certainly not our place at Canesport or my place to tell people you are not allowed to talk about, you know, this hot topic in college football. I mean, but it's really, really, really an interesting dynamic. It's like you never know what's coming around the corner, Zuby. You're new to this game, but there's always something, man. It's fascinating, and this would certainly fall in that category. All right, 563-999-3550, 563-999-3550 is the number. You hit the number one on your keypad if you would like to come on the show. Let's go out to the 386. You are now live on Canesport Live. How you doing this evening?
Hey, how we doing, Gary? Appreciate you taking my call.
Doing great. Who's this?
Will.
Oh, hey, Will. How are you, man? Welcome back.
All right. Why not Miami? I'm going to tell you why not Miami. And I would like for you and Azubi to comment on what I'm about to say, because I felt like this for 35 plus years. Why not Miami? Let me point to a few things real quick. I'm going to be brief like I always am. The college football world, the media, the NCAA, everyone has always been anti-Miami. In order for Miami to win a national title or play for a national title, they have to go undefeated. And we have a good team this year, but I don't think they built to go undefeated. I remember when Les Miles was coaching at LSU. A two-loss LSU team played for a national title. The last national title we won, against Nebraska. I don't even think Nebraska won the Big 12 that year. I remember we beat FSU on the field, but yet they went and played for the national title. In order for Miami to play for a national title, they have to go undefeated. If they just say lose to FSU in Tallahassee, beat them in the ACC championship, they will not play for a national title. It is too many people out there that dislike the University of Miami. So if we're going to win it, we have to go undefeated. And I'm not just talking about this year. Now, you and Azubi agree or disagree that it seems like the college football world is anti-Miami.
Go ahead, Azubi.
Dude, that's a hard one for me. You know, obviously, like Gary said, I'm kind of new to all the Miami stuff, covering the team for 1 year. But I feel like, you know, this day and age, if you're winning, you're winning, man. And if we can produce on the field, I can see, you know, a route where, you know, Miami finds a way to get to where they want to be in the next 2 or 3 years. But I feel like that's kind of hard for me to gauge with, you know, kind of saying people are kind of against Miami because I haven't been around or, you know, the program for as long as, you know, Gary has. And I wasn't really around when they were winning the national championship and things like that. But that's a tough one for me to answer.
I think, I mean, listen, Miami hasn't been Miami for a long time, but that doesn't mean people don't want to still hate Miami. I mean, the older people still hate Miami. The younger people don't know what all the fuss is about, quite frankly. Hopefully that'll change this year. But, you know, there might be a little paranoia in that because I don't think the younger generation has any clue about Miami and because they didn't see what Miami once was. I mean, Miami last won the national title 2001. Azubi, where were you in 2001?
I was running around Pampers in Fort Myers.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, like, you know, the younger generation, they don't know Miami the way you know Miami, Will.
Okay, well, my second question is, putting everything aside, all the hypotheticals, have to stay healthy, this has to happen, that has to happen. Do you think that this team have the talent to make it to the 14 playoff? The talent, have the talent to do that. And I'll give you my opinion on it. I'll give you my opinion, agree or disagree. I think that the one thing that this University of Miami team is missing, in my opinion, offensively, and we have good offensive players, I will admit that, but they do not have an offensive player that is keeping defensive coordinators up at night, like a Santana Moss, a Jeremy Sharkey, DeAndre Johnson, Willis McGade, and to name a few. They do not have a player on this roster that I think would be a first or second round draft pick or someone that is keeping defensive coordinators up at night. Agree or disagree?
Who does Florida State have in that regard?
Well, I don't follow Florida State like I follow Miami.
Well, I mean, they have a decent quarterback. They got a couple of decent receivers, but they're not that different than Miami. I mean, Miami's got a decent quarterback. Miami's got a couple decent receivers. The difference between last year's Miami team and this year's Miami team is at the line of scrimmage, Miami is better on the offensive side of the ball for sure. Now, what I worry about is the defensive line of scrimmage, and that, to me, is where this team – might fall short.
So that's my question. So you agree that this team don't have a offensive player that is keeping defensive coordinators up at night?
Not once you get past the quarterback. I think the quarterback will keep them up. But if you're eliminating quarterbacks, no. I think they'll respect Colby Young. I think they'll respect Jacoby George. I think they'll respect Xavier Restrepo. I think they'll respect all four running backs. But keeping them up at night, no. There's not an alpha, you know, number one game breaker type of talent in that group.
What
they
a last
stay
point
healthy,
I'm
Will.
Going.
Well, if they stay healthy, they got a chance in every game. Will it end in the 14th playoff? Who the hell knows? But they have to stay healthy. They can't afford injuries. Almost anywhere.
Well, I watched the North Carolina Minnesota game Saturday, and I think Miami should be able to win that game by at least two touchdowns. But here's the game
see though. You're going on the road to Chapel Hill, and it might be a night game. That's not going to be an easy situation.
Well, I just, you know, North Carolina to me, they seem like they're throwing the ball on every down, trying to help their quarterback win the Heisman. And, you know, hey, all we got to do is game plan for that. But here's the game. I'm going to say this and I'm going to go let someone else come on. But here's the game that on their schedule that I'm afraid of the most. And that's the Boston College game because it's in November. And I hope when we go up there, it's not a foot of snow on the ground. That's all I have to say tonight. Appreciate you taking my call. Look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it, man. Thank you for being part of the show. 563-999-3550. 563-999-3550 is the number. Hit the one on your keypad if you'd like to come on the show. Let's go out to the 706. You're live on Kingsport Live.
Good evening, Gary. This is Zuby. This is your boy, Sebastian. How are you guys doing this evening?
What is going on, Sebastian?
No, man. I wanted to talk to you guys because I wanted to get your perspective on this particular topic. I got a chance to watch the offensive and defensive coordinators press conference today, and I was liking a lot of what I was hearing and just the development of all the players and the outlook of how these players are going to contribute to the program for years to come. And this is for Gary or Zuby. Can you guys talk a little bit about when you guys first got a good indication that these coordinators were a good fit for this team? Because it seems like both on the offensive side and the defensive side, these guys are not only playing fast, but they're playing efficiently. There's not a lot of pre-snap penalties. There's not a lot of unwarranted timeouts. It seems like they're very, very coordinated, and that is the thing I am most encouraged about. When did you guys get a sense that this was like meshing and this was like a good fit for University of Miami?
Pacific, you go first.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of realized this in the spring, kind of towards the end of the spring, leading up to the spring game, because, you know, throughout the season, obviously we get to talk to these players, you know, 2-3 times a week, you know, with these press conferences and these different interviews. And, you know, throughout the 2022 season, you could always tell there was kind of something not clicking or just something up between the players and, you know, not connecting with the coaches and little things like that and just the things they were saying and all this stuff. And then when Guidry comes in, when Dawson comes in, you talk to these guys, you see they're excited to talk about the team. Obviously, you know, everyone loves, you know, change when things aren't working. But you can genuinely see these guys and how they talk about these coordinators, how they say they make the game easy. They say how they make the game fast. And every player likes, you know, playing fast and easy and enjoying themselves. And you hear how these players describe these offenses. It's simple. It's fast. It's easy. You're quick. You know, you make these decisions, you know, right away. And you're not making everything so complex and player-friendly. And you hear these guys, you know, saying that repeatedly over and over again, and then you see them on the field do this in the spring games. Like, all right, this team looks, you know, a little bit different than what we saw last year, and it's, you know, most of the same players. So I feel like that was kind of the first time I realized, okay, you know, Mario Cristobal did a great job with these two coaches, bringing in player coaches rather than X and O's guys that's trying to, you know, force their scheme on players instead of adjusting to what, you know, they have in their stable and, you know, making the offense and defense work around these guys.
I'm going to say that I felt Shannon Dawson was going to be hugely successful here the minute he got the job, and I looked at what he's been doing the last few years and the type of systems he runs and the type of offense. I thought it would be a perfect fit for Tyler Van Dyke. I thought that they would be able to get a little bit more out of the receivers. So I felt that way about the offense very early in the game. I'm going to be totally honest here. And I don't yet feel any way about the defense. I don't feel that the defense has been tested yet. You know, they came out with an absolutely phenomenal game plan against Texas A&M. Totally befuddled them in the first half. But then in the second half, after Texas A&M made adjustments, they had almost 300 yards of offense, okay? And I don't feel that the defense has proven anything yet. I really don't. And I think their next test is obviously going to really be at North Carolina when they have to go against that offense, and we're going to find out more. I like Lance Guidry. I like the way he attacks the game. I also understand that there's going to be a lot of plays during the course of the game where there are going to be openings for the other offense to rack up yards and possibly points. And so I got to go a little further and a little deeper into this season before I start anointing and congratulating. I love Lance Guidry. I love the way he gets the kids to attention and how they embrace him and all of that. What I just don't know yet, to answer your question, is where this defense really, really is and where it's going to be as we go forward in the season.
You know, as I watched the team this year, and what I was really excited through the press conference is when I heard Guidry talking about the progression of Williams, the safety, and just talking mm-hmm. about how he was able to, you know, with Cam being out, being able to make checks and knowing when a cornerback's supposed to blitz and when he doesn't, it just gave me the indication that they really understood the scheme and the philosophy that they're trying to run. And I don't know. I mean, this season's going to play itself out. I'm encouraged that we're getting a lot of kids to play behind them, because what I'm hoping is that we could have continuity with these folks. They don't have all their players. They haven't, you know, everybody that's on the team, they haven't recruited them. But I'm wondering what it's going to look like when you start recruiting, you know, your type of players, your type of athletes, and you get them to understand your scheme, and they're 2 years into the program, 3 years into the program, and see what that's going to look like. But, you know, so far, it looks good on the field. I don't know if you guys agree, but I can just tell you as a fan, I mean, it looks good on the field. And last year, you got to admit, man, we had so many mental busts. And I don't know, have we had any this year?
I haven't seen very many.
I mean, I just haven't seen it. And you're right, you know, I don't – look, I respect every opponent. I don't think Temple's going to be a cakewalk. I don't think even Georgia Tech's going to be a cakewalk. But if we could just continue to play within ourselves, I'm kind of encouraged from what I see. My next question is I want to talk a little bit about recruiting. You know, this is a big year for us to really kind of redefine what our defensive line is going to look like going forward, and also to shore up on the secondary. How encouraged are you guys that we're going to be able to do something like that? Do we have a chance to maybe flip in Ellis Ricks from Georgia? Is there a defensive line? Can we flip maybe Stone? Or, I mean, what are we looking like on the recruiting front in relation to if we continue to keep winning? What are some guys that we possibly have a shot at being able to get into the fold?
I'll start off. You mentioned him, Ellis Robinson from Georgia. He's one guy that I think Miami's never going to stop recruiting to the end of it all, till early signing day where he signs that, you know, national letter of intent. He's a guy that loves Miami. His family loves Miami. And he wanted to see, you know, after speaking with him in the fall ahead of the season, he was like, hey, I love Miami, but I kind of want to see, you know, what they do this year and if they make any steps in the right direction. Obviously, with Coach Adai coming from Georgia and, you know, two of his players getting drafted from Georgia to the NFL and him coming to Miami and two of his defensive backs getting drafted his first year there, the development there is just, you know, the rest of the team. Obviously, it's going to be hard to have a 5-17 flip, you know, the defending back-to-back national champions, number one recruit. But Miami's doing a darn, you know, good job of keeping their name in the mix and keeping that interest level in there. And that's one guy that I'm always going to, you know, keep my eye on, keep modern, because, you know, when he talks about Miami, he talks so highly about Miami, you can tell he's genuinely interested in them. But kind of some other guys, too, like you mentioned, David Stone's another guy Miami has continued to recruit and everything like that. And just a bunch of other guys, I feel like Miami's going to, you know, you're going to start seeing when that Clemson game rolls around or when another big home game, you're just going to start seeing guys, you know, taking those sneaky visits to Miami and, you know, their names start popping up again. So I feel like right now, you know, Miami's building that momentum again, kind of fueling up the tank to kind of double back around at some of these big guys that they missed out on. And I won't be surprised if we see some guys that they lost, you know, first, kind of come back around and give Miami a second chance if they continue winning.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'll just add to that I think Miami's more in the mix for a lot of these guys around the country than what you're seeing reported. I think that they're under the radar a little bit on some of these kids. It doesn't mean they're going to win, but if there's a top-shelf defensive lineman out there, the chances are pretty good Miami's still in the game there. And I'm, you know, not sure, like, you know, I think in December when it all kind of works itself out and the big guns come out, so to speak, from an NIL standpoint, I got to think Miami's going to land one or two of these top defensive linemen to go with what they already have.
That's awesome. Now, I'll leave this last comment because I know there's a lot of other callers that's on the phone. And this question is more for Gary. Hey, Gary, you know, 3-0, we couldn't ask for it to be better than what it is right now as far as what we're seeing on the field. But as we go through the season, what are you looking for or what are you're hoping to see that – at the end of the year will tell you that this was not only a successful season, but you can see that the trajectory that we're on is very, very positive and gives you confidence that we have a bright outlook moving forward. I'll tell you a couple and then I'll let you continue on. One, I want to see continued development with a lot of the young talent that we brought into this particular recruiting class.
Yep.
Number one. Number two, I'd like to see Number two is what I'd like to see is that we're able to keep the majority, if not all, of our coaching staff in place. The last thing I want to see is, you know, to lose a Shannon Dawson or even a Guidry. And then number three, I definitely would like to see maybe some, like, I mean, it was good to be Texas A&M at home, but, man, it sure would be good to have a big victory on the road, whether it be Clemson or Tallahassee or North Carolina. I mean,
yeah,
real...
well, Clemson's a home game, but yeah, it's got to be North Carolina and Florida State.
Yeah, that's. I mean, if we get one of those games on the road where it's a real tut wrenching game that maybe we pull out in the fourth quarter, and because we need to learn to win like that. I think those are some things that I'll turn it over to you, Gary, and you tell me what
you see. I think you hit it, man. I think you hit it right on the head. Azubi, you have any additional thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I feel like Miami kind of got that marquee home win versus A&M, but if they get that big road one, man, I feel like that's going to be, you know, work wonders for the team. But, yeah, I feel like all the points that he hit are spot on with that too. But that's one thing that I didn't have, you know, on my bingo card this year with Miami, you know, picking up that really, really big road win, which would be either at UNC or Florida State, in my opinion. But if they're able to pull one of those things off, man, I can't imagine how just everything is going to, you know, get uplifted, whether it be recruiting-wise, whether it be the momentum in the locker room and everything like that. But that'd probably be the one thing I have to circle, just that big road win that Miami can get this year.
The Azubi bingo card. Just, I haven't heard that one yet. Azubi's got a bingo card.
Hey, guys, it's been a good show, man. I really appreciate what y'all did. I have to think it has to be a lot more fun covering the team this year than it was the last year, just up until this point. And keep doing what are doing.
Thank you, man. You know, appreciate it, Sebastian. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, guys, I got a wide open queue here, a wide open board. So if you want to get in tonight, now is the time to make your move. 563-999-3550, 563-999-3550. You hit the number one on your keypad, that'll pop you right in there. Azubi, let's take a moment now. I want to get some of the topics that were given to us on the message boards at canesport.com. But that's an interesting the way you phrase that with your bingo card being a big road win. And, you know, that was on my bingo card, especially after Texas A&M. I'm not overreacting to that Texas A&M victory. I think Miami ambushed them. I thought Lance Guidry threw the kitchen sink at Bobby Petrino in the first half. I'm not sure Texas A&M was ready for what they had to deal with in that game. And I didn't like the 300 yards in the second, you know, close to 300 yards in the second half. And like I said earlier, I think Miami's defense does still have a lot to prove, and you're going to have to prove it in those two big games on the road. So my bingo card's looking like yours, Azubi, at this point. I think they got to win one of those, at least one of those two on the road.
Yeah, no, I feel like kind of going back to that, I wasn't expecting – well, obviously, I kind of expected the A&M one and kind of had that circle, like, hey, we need this one. But I feel like the big road win against one of these big rivals in the ACC is kind of going to be the cherry on top of the cake early on, or the ice cream, whatever, how you want to put it. But that would be, like, massive, massive, I think. Because, obviously, you know, the Texas A&M game is kind of getting a little diluted because people are saying, oh, A&M's not as good, and they're just a washed-up SEC team, and blah, 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 blase, blase. But you go into UNC, a team that you've lost to the last 3 years, I think, by 3 points or less every single time, and you go in there, smack them across the head, you beat them up pretty bad. Or you just come out with a win. Or if you go to Florida State, a team that kind of flat-out embarrassed you on your home field last year, 45-3, and you get a win there, I think that's just going to be amazing for Mario Cristobal. Ask if they can pull off one of those two games, and I'll be a lot more confident saying, hey, I think these guys, if they keep their heads on straight, they don't kind of slip up with the Louisvilles and the NC States and the Boston College at the tail end of the season, they can kind of make some noise and potentially get their name and for an ACC championship. And if that goes well, I don't want to look ahead and kind of, you know, get ahead of myself, but you know, things might be a little different than people expected come towards the tail end of the season.
All right. So there were a few topics that were given to us on the message boards at canesport.com. Again, while we're doing this, if you want to get on the show tonight, 563-999-3550, and you hit the one on your keypad. So Keith 19 says, it's great to have four running backs in the stable this year, but he thinks that Don Chaney is the best running back on the team right now. Now, this is kind of interesting because everybody wants to have a pick of who they think is the best. And Azubi, when I look at it, I see four guys playing pretty even football. I think they've all played great. I don't think there's been separation. I don't think you have to name a true number one. I think Henry Parrish gets out there first because he's got seniority. He's played several years of college football. So he gets the call above Fletcher and A.J. Allen and Chaney. But I like the way all four of them have looked.
Yeah, no, I feel like this is a healthy stable of running backs. Obviously, you know, Don Chaney's had that big freshman year and kind of been banged up ever since then and kind of finally finding his wheels again and staying healthy. And Henry Parrish looked good. A.J. Allen looks good. Mark Fletcher looked good. Obviously, he didn't play last game because the unknown injury, which we think is a concussion or something like that. But I personally still haven't seen one guy kind of say, hey, this is my running back room. You know, I need the bulk of the carries. And I don't see a problem with that because all four of these guys, like you said, are being productive, are coming in and doing their jobs and contributing to the team. So I have no issue with having a stable of running backs to any given game. One of these guys can pop off. We saw Don Chaney had the drive where he had every single touch, 55 yards, and a touchdown at the end. We see Chris Johnson Jr. coming in and making something happen against Bethune-Cookman. Like, this is a deep room, and I feel like this is a great kind of issue to have. It's not really an issue that you don't have a true, you know, number one running back when you have four guys that are all talented enough to be, you know, a big-time back or be a feature back for a team. So I see no issue with that. I don't personally see one of these guys as a true number one or have one that comes to mind right away. Maybe Henry Parrish because he technically – gets to start and is the number one running back that comes onto the field. But I see no issue with not having that feature guy if all four guys or all five guys are contributing and, you know, doing their thing and not messing up when they get into the game.
Now, what do you do about Chris Johnson? You know, he flashes in the Bethune game and, you know, it's only Bethune, but you're sitting there saying this kid's got some ability too and maybe can help. But how do you just don't have enough footballs to go around with five running backs and three tight ends and five wide receivers. And everybody can't all do it right now. I mean, you know what I'm saying, Azubi? Like what do they do? Like, what are they supposed to do with Chris Johnson?
Yeah, no, that's like I said, that's a good issue to have if you're offensive coordinator. You know, too many weapons. You know, it's only one football on the field. It's only – you know, one person catching or one person running the ball, you know, every given play. So that's a good issue Shannon Dawson is going to have to deal with. But I feel like, you know, obviously I'm not comparing this, you know, Miami team to any of the Miami teams previously, but, you know, you always see these graphics of like, you know, this guy was a third string running back on this team. And, you know, the team was just so stacked with players. And, you know, that's a good thing. You know, that's showing the guys Mario Cristobal is bringing in, the guys that they have in the program now are talented and they're competing for these positions, for these spots of the skill positions. Like we said, you know, Jahlil Skinner last year was a big-time recruit coming in, and you see Mario Cristobal brings in, you know, three guys in that tight end room, and he shoots down to the fourth spot. You see, you know, the running back room is competitive as can be, you know, in recent years, and, you know, one of the best guys that you thought was going to make an impact, Trevante Citizen, is injured and banged up. So imagine if he was in the fold with those running backs. So, it's like I said, it's just a good problem to have, obviously. That's why Shannon Dawson gets paid the big bucks to figure out who are the guys that are going to make the biggest impact, you know, on the field come Saturday. But, like, as I said, you know, I feel like this is a good thing for Miami to have, you know, competitive position battles in each group and not be, you know, stagnant and have one guy just completely blown out everyone else, you know, underneath him.
Yeah, and then, you know, next year if everything stays the way it is, you got Riley coming into the equation. He's looking better and better all the time. So Miami, at least at the running back position, is looking like what Mario Cristobal would say. Miami's looking the way Miami should look. And, you know, this is the way it should look at every position with guys fighting for playing time. So Keith also asked, will this be the game that Xavier Restrepo finally scores? I mean,
you can't plan that. I mean, you run your plays, you let the chips fall where they may. I mean, Restrepo's going to score at some point. I mean, he gets too many balls to not score. But will this be the game he scores? I mean,
yes,
it'll be the game he scores. But, Keith, it's very hard to predict that. You know, we can't really predict that. All right, Azubi, so Campco 360 says, do you think Miami could be the leader in college football scheduling Bethune-type games? I don't see the purpose of playing glorified high school teams. Your thoughts?
I feel like you mentioned, it's not just a Miami thing. You check everyone's schedule, pretty much you'll see a FCS team or a Division II team on the schedule. Every team has that, you know, week two or three tune-up game, you know, ahead of a big game or ahead of conference play. So I feel like that's never going to change. The only thing that could potentially change is instead of scheduling a Bethune-Cookman, like we talked about earlier, you schedule another, you know, Miami of Ohio or another Temple-type game. But those cupcake games, they're not going away, you know, anytime soon. Georgia plays cupcake games, you know. Alabama plays University of Louisiana Monroe every single year. Some, you know, awful team. Georgia's going to play Samford. You know, Florida just played McNeese State. You know, shout out to Coach Guidry's guys, you know, over at McNeese in Louisiana. But I don't think this is something to be too concerning about because it's inevitable, and that's never going to change in college football. That's been something that I was watching, you know, college football, and when I was younger, that's always, you know, you see an FCS opponent, you see that cupcake in the beginning of the year. So I don't think too much of it. Maybe kind of get a better team, but how much better can you get when you're picking from the garbage and kind of the bottom of college football? No offense to Cookman or anything, but that's kind of the point of you paying a team to come beat up on at your stadium.
All right, JTH007, and I'm going to preface this by saying he is a troublemaker. There's no argument there. He is an absolute troublemaker. He wants to know, Azubi, if we can get Deion Sanders on the show to talk about how he's molding his program after the Canes teams of the 80s. My guess is Deion's not coming to Canes Sport Live. What do you think?
Yeah, no, unless I can kind of pull some strings from the hometown connection, I don't think we'll get Deion to get
That's
on Canes
right.
Sport Live and talk about all that.
Oh,
good
my
stuff.
God, I forgot. You got the hometown Fort Myers connection. All right, Azubi, we're putting you on that one now. I don't know if he has any, you know, grandmas or anything left over there in Fort Myers, but if he does, it's on you now to you know, find them and get them to go to bat for us and let's get Deion on Canes Sport Live. How about that?
Yeah, I bet he loves the publicity, man. He's bringing all eyes to that program. So, but I don't think he needs any more eyes. He's doing his fair share of work over there, getting people to tune into what he's doing. But hey, if I hear any tidbits or any tips about getting to Deion, I'll be the first person to try to get him on Canes Sport Live one of these Tuesdays.
All right. MSK Fish wants us to talk about the freshman linebackers. Man, I don't know. Like, I think they're swimming a little bit, to be honest with you. We haven't seen too much of them on the field. I mean, Popo Aguirre was out there a little bit against Bethune. I'm trying to remember. Did we see Malik Bryant on defense, Azubi? I can't remember whether we did.
We saw. I know Robbie Washington was out there, or
Bobby. Bobby was out there.
Bobby was out there. He had a nice little tackle. I think this is my opinion. I think out of Marcellus Pullman, Malik Bryant, Popo Aguirre, and Bobby Washington, I think Bobby Washington is going to be the best linebacker coming out of that 2023 class. Because just how fast he is and how big he is, and that's something. You know, he's the same size, maybe a little bit slimmer than those three guys, but he moves like a wide receiver. And he just hits like a Mack truck. And that's two things that you love in a linebacker. And I feel like if he gets, you know, the scheme down and understands everything, breaks down the playbook, becomes one of the guys that, you know, gives you can trust out there, I feel like he's going to have I'm not saying he's going to be, you know, substantially better, but I feel like he has the most potential to be that linebacker that you want that's flying across the field and make a big play for you. But, you know, we did see a little bit of those guys, you know, towards the tail end of the game when Bethune, you know, scored their lone touchdown. Obviously, they're not going to be, you know, world beaters their first real drive in college football. But, you know, getting time like that is always good for them. And, you know, Malik Bryant and Popo and Marcellus are always on special teams kind of doing their thing. So a couple of glimpses of them, nothing crazy. But I feel like as the season goes on, we'll kind of get more of those guys and see what they really can bring to the table.
Yeah, I mean, they're all still learning the defensive system. And, you know, they're not at the point yet where Lance Guidry is going to put them out there with a game on the line over Bassaint and Corey Flagg and obviously Matt Goa. So I'll tell you who did pop a little bit was Chase Smith. He's not a true freshman, but he popped a little bit in that Bethune game. And athletically, he's just, you know, he's everything you want. So we'll have to see if he can learn the defense and maybe earn some more time. Gabriel T wants to know if Miami's better than Bama finally.
No.
I'm not going there, Azubi. I'm not going there yet. Dude, that would be overreaction.
Yeah, that's a super overreaction right there. That's just like putting up 15 to 20 years of work versus one off season. I feel like you can't do that right now. That'd be unfair to both programs. Maybe in 2 or 3 years when, like, you know, when things are kind of how Mario wants his program to be 2 or 3 classes in, maybe you can compare that. But like I said, that's 15 to 20 years of hard work and under the table money with Nick Saban built over there compared to 1 year, 18 months with Coach Cristobal. So I'm going to have to have a firm no, Miami's not better than Alabama right now.
Jay Collette wants to know how Mario works as hard as he does and gets so little sleep. I mean, man, I mean, he's just a unique human being. I mean, it's like I know I couldn't do what he does, and it's not just that. It's not just the fact that he can get by without sleep. It's the unwavering, complete devotion to his job and what he is trying to get done in it, regardless of where he's working. And I mean, I've seen this for 20 plus years now, 20, 25 years. I mean, it didn't matter what Mario Cristobal was doing, whether he was at Rutgers or FIU or Alabama or Oregon. This is the work ethic that he brings to the table every day of his life, no matter what he's doing. And he's willing to sacrifice everything to try to be successful at what he's doing. And you don't see too many people like that. You know, I mean, it's really an amazing, amazing thing. And I think people need to support him. I think these former players need to support him. I think they need to understand a little bit that their very public support of another school that is going to be recruiting against Miami and is going to use that support against Miami is, you know, not helping what Mario's trying to get done here. But how he does it, Jay Collette, I certainly cannot explain that. And, Alkane 407 says, watching film, the D-line needs to get their hands up off the line and bat down passes. What do we think about that? Azubi, I'll tell you, I don't disagree. I asked Lance Guidry this week, you know, what's the pass rush look like with just four people? You know, and he kind of answered around it. And because I have not been personally impressed with pass rush with just four people. And when he brings five or six, it's been very effective. And you just know that when you're bringing five, six guys, you're leaving somebody open. So I was thinking, man, I got to think this guy does not want to blitz as much as he's blitzing. Maybe getting hands up off the line is part of the equation. But I think there's a lot of room for improvement amongst the defensive linemen in the pass rush department.
Yeah, I feel like kind of the health right now, too, is kind of, you know, hindering Miami a little bit with that pass rush department. But that shouldn't be an excuse because that's kind of one of the deepest, I would say, position groups coming into the season. Even though if a couple guys get banged up, you still have guys like Jafari Harvey that was a starter last year that was a second teamer. You got, you know, Reuben Bain, Harrison Hunt, and those guys, you know, in the mix. But I do want to see Miami's pass rush kind of – they've gotten there a few times, but they've missed, you know, bringing down the quarterback. We saw Connor Wegman. He escaped a few times. Obviously, Reuben Bain had that superplex of a sack, which was good to see. He kind of built his confidence up a little bit. But, you know, with these guys out right now, I want to see the rest of the guys kind of step up and, you know, really, really apply that pressure where you don't have to send six guys, where you don't have to, you know, really bank on the pass rush to get there. You're going to get beat deep or anything like that. So – That's one thing I can agree on saying. Just if there's one thing on that defense, kind of see if your guys can, you know,
put their hand in the dirt and get to the quarterback a little bit better. Even, like he said, put your hands in the air and bat something down if you don't get there in time.
All right, well, we've had a rush of phone calls to the show and that are now in the queue, so let's get right back at it. 563-999-3550, 563-999-3550. You hit the one on your keypad if you want to come on the show. Let's go out to the 678. You're live on Kane Sport Live.
What's going on, Gary? It's T-Dog.
What's up, T-Dog? How you been, man?
Chilling, man. What's going on, Zoom?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for those great comments you've been putting on our YouTube channel, by the way. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you bringing that up to Guidry today because I think I mentioned on the Lamar show that, you know, we hadn't gotten home with the defensive line, with the ends. And so I was wondering, I don't know if that's because of the injuries or what, but I'm looking forward to seeing some production from them guys. Zuby, I just want to say proud of you, young man. As a father, it's good to see a young man like yourself doing your thing. My wife is actually from Fort Myers, so I'm partial to you.
That's awesome. Thank you.
No problem, man. No problem. Actually, this one's for Zuby first. So I heard y'all, I think, last week mention about how Young is like the prototypical receiver. And I know y'all notice on the board, I'm always saying George, wide receiver one, probably because I'm partial because he went to Plantation like me. But I honestly, when I look at George, I just see a playmaker. I see a game changer. He might not be, you know, Devontae Smith from Alabama, that's with my Eagles right now, but I see him in that same mold. What do y'all think about that?
Yeah, no, that's funny that you brought that up because earlier, everything through a five asked us, you know, who we thought was the best wide receiver. I went with Jacoby George because I feel like he's kind of the wild card type of guy. You know, obviously Xavier is a safety blanket and Jacoby George is, you know, your big 6'4", 200-pound, you know, wide receiver. But Jacoby George is that guy, you know, he can turn that, you know, quick, you know, screen pass, that quick slant to something big. You know, we saw that in the Texas A&M game, that last touchdown, that dagger, you know, beat two guys with one move, made them, you know, collide into each other and kind of, you know, jogged in. And I've always – even last year, I'll never forget this play for some reason when Jacoby George kind of hurdled a guy after catching the screen, and it was just like a 15-yard game. I was like, he has something that, you know, some of these receivers that don't have, that kind of spark, that little twitch that I really like. And like I said, I couldn't pinpoint why I thought he was the best wide receiver, but for me, I think I'm still going to have to go with Jacoby George as the best wide receiver from Miami because I just feel like he brings a different dynamic that those other two guys don't have. But it's a great wide receiver room nonetheless with those three guys.
No doubt. You still feel the same, Gary, about Young?
You know what? If you asked an NFL scout who's the best receiver at Miami, they would tell you Colby Young just based on, you know, his size, his explosiveness. Well, you know, I mean, he had a horrible Bethune-Cookman game for a while there. But I'm too scared to anoint Jacoby George, man. I mean, this is what, I think it's fourth year. And, I mean, he's fallen short to this point, and he's doing all the right things right now. I want to see him sustain it for the whole season and not just be a flash in the pan here. Restrepo has the bond with TVD and that allows, you know, and he's just so accountable and reliable. And, you know, so I don't know why we have to say somebody's a number one. I don't think any of them are a number one. I think they're all number twos and threes that are sharing the load and doing pretty well at it.
Okay, that's fair. I just think that going forward, and especially when they make it to the league, you'll see that George is going to have a better career. Just like I used to argue back in the day on your old board that Travis Benjamin was going to be the better receiver out of all those big, strong receivers we had. It's just like Azubi said, it's something about having that twitch, the ability to get past the defense. Like, that matters, especially in the NFL. All right, Gary, this one's for you. So I think last year I was going off on Steele, I told you Steele was stealing money. Lo and behold, game against Texas, Alabama looked like straight trash on defense. I'm telling you, the defense was being – and Gattis was trash. Don't get me wrong. Gattis was trash last year. But enough blame to Steele, in my opinion. And we're seeing now that, A, he's passed this time, and, B, I don't think his defense is effective anymore. You got younger coordinators now with more progressive game plans that just shred that type of defense to pieces. What do you think about Steele now?
I think he's struggling, you know, you know, I don't know if the stuff that Lane Kiffin was stirring up this week is really accurate, but it, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, if Nick had already pulled the plug after losing that Texas game. That did, I guarantee I could. I mean, I don't, that did not go over well in Tuscaloosa for sure. So you know, listen, he's older. It's probably harder for him to reach these, you know, reach the younger guys.
Yep.
And you have to have a, you know, it's not a matter of, you know, like the younger guys bring more to the table or whatever, but you know, they might be able to communicate better with, you know, with the players. I mean, you're coaching 18-year-old guys, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's important to have a mix. And it was,
I just,
you know,
believe
thank
everything
you so
has everything has an expiration date, and he expired, bro. So that's what all I was saying last year was that, you know, when I saw that Middle Tennessee State game, Middle Tennessee, bro, like, come on, man. Like, bombs over Baghdad, like, I knew right then we didn't have the right guy, man. So that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was proven that he wasn't the right guy.
Yeah. And people kept saying, well, wait till he goes to Alabama. Oh, we complain about Steele, but Saban won him. Yeah, that don't mean anything. Saban had to pick who he had to pick. It's not like he had like this huge plethora of coaches to pick from. That was all that was left, just like Mario. At the end of the day, last year, the reason why Mario made those hires is because that's all that was left. Let's just be honest. So, but anyway, proud of my boys. I was there at the A&M game, brought the fam down. I'll be back again for the Clemson game, so I'll try to run into you guys.
All right, T-Dog, thank you. And thank you again for all the kind words that you've been posting and what you said to Azubi and, you know, everything. Thank you.
Oh, of course.
Thanks.
And I love it.
All right, man. We'll talk to you hopefully next week. Let's go to the my system went haywire here for a minute. Let's go to the 845. You're live on Kane Sport Live.
Yeah, Gary, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, Greg? How are you?
I wasn't going to call, but I was listening. I just wanted to comment on a couple things. We have six – if you include Citizen, we have six running backs right now, and we got this Riley kid and this Humphrey kid. So you know at least three of them are going to leave with this transfer rule where you can just leave.
Maybe not. Okay, Parrish will be gone after this year. I think Chaney might leave. I would agree with you on that. I think Chaney might leave and go play a final year somewhere else. We'll see. We'll see how the year goes. Fletcher's not going anywhere for sure. Citizen, it's hard to say where that one's going. That was a pretty significant injury. Humphrey, I think there's a great chance he plays cornerback. He could go either way, running back or cornerback. You got Chris Johnson coming up who, you know, is showing some flashes and some things. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think obviously at least one or two guys are going to leave at some point, but I don't know if it'll be a mass exodus, like you say.
Okay. My next point. What is your feeling on this LJ McCray? I know he's a high priority.
What do you think, Azubi?
Yeah, this one's going to come down to the wire to me, in my opinion, because the last three games, so his last three visits were to Florida State when they beat LSU. And my big thing was Miami had to have a good showing. He comes to Miami. Miami beats Texas A&M. That was great. His next game, he goes to Florida, which is another contender. They beat Tennessee, the number 11 team in the country, in front of a sold-out crowd. So everywhere this kid has gone, he's seen the teams that are recruiting him, you know, really put on a good show. So I feel like this is just going to come down to something completely out of, you know, each of these teams' controls. I feel like it's going to come down, you know, to him, to where he thinks he's going to be the most successful, or where I don't know how much NIL is factoring into this, probably a big thing. But this is kind of every single team is putting their best foot forward right now, and it's going to be a very, very hard decision for him. I feel bad for him, and I'm not even, you know, making that decision for him, because all of the options that he has, you know, are showing that, hey, we can play with these guys and we're taking the steps in the right direction. So that'll be one I think that's going to go down to the wire for sure.
Yeah, I agree, Greg. It's going to go to the wire. It's between all three state schools, and it could go in any direction.
All right, my next quick point. We always discuss Manny Diaz's defense. You know, you said that there's holes in it. He's at Penn State. He looks pretty good as a coordinator. I guess when you have good, really good players, it can overcome a bad, quote, bad scheme. What do you think?
I mean,
about
I haven't watched Penn State, but isn't it like pretty comparable to what it's been? I'm going to pull up the stats right now. I think he had like the number 25 defense in the country from what I remember. Let me see if I can find it real fast here. Let's see. Defense. Total defense. Let's see where they are in total defense, Penn State. They're number 16 right now, giving up 267 yards a game.
We're
18. I mean, Manning's not a bad defensive coordinator now. I'm not sure he's played a dynamic offense yet. I'd have to look and double check that, but like.
All right, I'm going to leave you with this. If Nick Saban leaves, after next season, and Mario's offered the job, would he take it? I'll leave you with that.
I don't think so, Greg. I really don't think so. As long as he keeps getting the level of support that he's getting at Miami, this is where he wants to be. This is the job he wants, and he's having success. I mean, you're seeing market improvement here in year two, and he'll every single day of the year, man. He's grinding, trying to make it better, and he's certainly been successful so far between year one and year two, and had a lot of things go wrong in year one, obviously. But, you know, he's got a chip on his shoulder, and he's working and grinding away. No, I don't think he goes to Alabama to succeed Nick Saban. That would be just an absolutely ridiculous career move, in my opinion. Number one, how do you match what Nick Saban has done at Alabama? And who wants to be compared to arguably, you know, one of the top two or three greatest coaches in college football history? Like, you know, that's a lost leader right there.
I agree with you, by the way. All right. Have a good night. Yeah. Thank you.
No, I think he's here as long as he gets the support and all his former teammates don't keep going to Colorado and given the opponents recruiting fodder, I think Mario will be here for a long time.
All right, thanks.
All right, Greg, we'll talk to you next week, man. Expect you to get on earlier next week. This is not like you coming on at the end of the show. Let's go out to the 239. You're live on K-Sport Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Who's this?
This is Adam, actually from Naples, Azumi. In the 239, the formerly 941, from a million years ago. So,
all right, Adam, what you got?
Question: who should be our starting quarterbacks after three games of the season? Because I can't figure it out. Both you guys. What do you think,
Azubi? I don't really have a great answer for this. I don't think there's a separator there.
I think I'll go with Daryl Porter and Jaden Davis, and then the Corey Couch to nickel.
Okay.
Mario's
speaking effusively about Jaden Davis. I haven't seen effusive, you know, warranted production, but I haven't seen bad production. We don't see.
Well, Jaden Davis was great at the line of scrimmage on blitzes and run support. I'm not sure he's been tested in pass coverage yet. Corey Couch has been doing a decent job in the slot for sure. I mean, he's not going anywhere there. They'll keep him there. Daryl Porter's been much better this year than he was last year. But I still keep going back with all of them to the fact that Texas A&M put up almost 300 yards of offense in the second half of that game after being ambushed in the first half by Lance Guidry, and they're going to have some tests ahead of them, and I want to see what happens in those tests. I'm not anointing.
Yeah, same here. What is it? Shannon Dawson told Mario over the headphones, I want to put this mother effing game away or something like that, when he was continuing to dial up the full offense at the end of the game. I don't know if Lance did did the same thing. I think he went a little softer, not prevent, but a little softer. And I think that they started to figure us out in the second half of that game. And I think that was one of the components. It was such a tale of two halves on the defensive side. Could we really been that good and that bad in the same game against the same opponent? Probably not. We'll have to see how the rest of the season plays out. And then, all right, my next question, this is a record and recruiting question. Of the three Florida schools, who ends the regular season with the best record?
Of the three main Florida schools?
Yeah. The big three. I'm tired of UCF and USC.
What do you think, Zuby? I mean, right now you have to play Florida State. I mean, until somebody beats them. But yeah. I'm not convinced that Miami won't be able to play with them in November. I think Miami matches up relatively well with Florida State this year. It's going to be interesting to see if they can hold up on the D-line. Because you remember what happened last year. Florida State ran that same running play, that counter running play, 40 times. I think it was
1,000 times.
Yeah, they ran a flex like literally 40 times and just pounded the living daylights out of Miami. If they're able to do that again, obviously that game's going to be another joke. But, you know, with Kiko Malagoa out there, if he stays healthy, the depth on the defensive line, I'm not sure it's great. But, you know, hopefully Miami will hold up a little bit better this year. And I think that'll be a real competitive game. But if you had to pick one right now, I think you'd probably say Florida State, right, Zuby?
Yeah, I was going to say, though, after this weekend, I mean, they have a tough game against Clemson. That'll be a better kind of, all right, if this Florida State team is real or not. Because Clemson, obviously, they had that slip-up versus Duke, but Duke's looking good. But I feel like Clemson's kind of finding their form a little bit, and that's going to be their big test this weekend to kind of gauge where they're at. But I have to agree with Gary. Until somebody beats Florida State, I'm going to have to go with Florida State.
And then of the three, of the big three, who ends the year with the best recruiting class?
That's a tough one, too. Right now, Florida's the number three recruiting class in the country right now, and they're doing good. They just had that big win against Tennessee with half their 2024 commits in the stands and a bunch of other 2024 guys, so that's going to be hard. Obviously, Miami's, I think, sitting at like 16 or 17 right now with a lot of big names left on the board. But if Florida keeps winning, I feel like they can keep that class intact. It's going to be, I think it'll be between Miami and Florida. And at the moment, I'm giving Florida the slight advantage just because of where they're at currently and how far they are ahead sitting at that number three class with, I think, two or three kind of big blue chip guys in that class right now.
I don't think that Florida is going to hold it together. I think that that's going to be a six-win team at the end of the day. And I think that'll hurt them in recruiting a little bit because there's going to be a lot of focus on Billy Napier at that point. And so I'll say Florida State 1, Miami 2 right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on this one, Gary, not for just wishful thinking. So sorry, Zuby, but I think that Florida is going to have an implosion-level year. I don't think they're going to be able to hold it together because of the spotlight that will be put on them relative to the resurgence of Miami and Florida State by the end of the year. I mean, there's a potential that the Miami-Florida State game in November could have the drama and the attention of the old ones of 10, 20, 30 years ago. If the seasons go the way that they potentially could for these teams. And so I just think Billy Napier, Florida, trying to hold it together in the face of that, I just think is too much to overcome. Even though that, you know, we're both not in the same conference, I just think it's too much to overcome. It does – one of the comments somebody made earlier, defense versus offense, you know, it feels like college football continues its steady move to offense. You know, it used to be defense wins championships. And I think in some big games it sort of shows up. But I think week in and week out, it looks like the offenses, so goes the offense, so goes the team. It doesn't look like defenses are losing a lot of teams, a lot of games anymore. Do you guys agree with that?
Go ahead.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously – defense plays a crucial part in this, but at the end of the day, who can put the most points on the board? And we've seen with these how everything's been transitioning. It's faster pace, more points on the board, you know, fast, who can score the most. And I feel like that's kind of – obviously throughout the years, you know, college football is always good at transition, whether, you know, running the ball a million times back in the day, and then you start seeing like the air raid in Hawaii and dive airing it out a lot and check to check air raid and all that stuff. So I feel like the game is going to continue to go in that direction. Obviously, you have your few schools like Iowa or Penn State that kind of like to, you know, grind it out and play that type of football. But if you look at, you know, most of the top, you know, teams in the country, they're always probably going to be among the top high scoring teams in the country, with USC and Ohio State always putting up big numbers in recent years, and Georgia, you know, putting up numbers against us all the time. So I definitely can agree with kind of college football going more towards the offense of the game than rather a defensive championship. And, you know, the best defense in the country is going to, you know, win your national title.
Yeah, I agree. I think at the end of the day, it's the team that can do the best job stopping people that will emerge from the fray. And so that, you know, that's going to be interesting. You know, I mean, you know, I look at Michigan right now, man. They're number two in the country in total defense. Ohio State's number three in the country in total defense. You know, are those the guys that are going to be counted the most at the end if they can sustain that level? You know, we'll see.
Last question. Who are the who's our number one recruit that is in the fold right now that we stand a chance to lose? So who's the most likely to potentially slip out? And then who is the most likely to potentially slip in with assuming a 9 or 10-win season? Thanks, guys.
All right, that's a tough one to end it off. The flip out, that's a tough one to think of. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of stretching it.
Cam Pruitt?
maybe a Cam Pruitt, somebody that's kind of under the radar that, you know, Alabama's pushing for. He's an Alabama guy. That's a hard one, yeah. Because off the top of my head, obviously, kids are still taking business and things like that. Obviously, you know, Chance was at Ohio State this weekend, but I don't think there's any real smoke with that. Kevin O'Reilly's kind of been easing with Auburn a little bit. I don't know if he made it out to the game this weekend, but there were some reports he might go to an Auburn game. Not too many guys I can think off the top of my head that I'm like, all right, this guy, you know, someone that I think is going to flip out. At first, I thought JoJo Trader would be – I still think he's going to be, you know, a guy to monitor to the end. But the more I talk to him, the more I seem like, okay, this guy's not going anywhere.
Yeah. And you probably got to monitor Riley till the end too, just because of how good he is and how much he's moving up.
For sure.
And how and there is no chance people are giving up there. No chance.
Yeah. Then I think I'm going to lock in with Kevin Riley just because of that, because how fast of a riser he is. He's in Tuscaloosa, Alabama's backyard. Alabama's been recruiting him. Auburn's been recruiting him heavy. So that proximity factor is one that's going to be big. And then kind of going to somebody, I think Miami has a chance to flip in. 10 wins, I think Miami makes it really interesting down the stretch for Jeremiah Smith. You have two of his best friends committed to the team right now with JoJo Trader and Zaquan Patterson. You win 10 games. Ohio State doesn't look, I mean, obviously they're still good, but they don't look as dominant as they have in the past, you know, 2 or 3 years with CJ Crowder and Justin Fields. So I think that one gets very, very interesting towards the tail end of the season. Like I said, you have, you know, JoJo Trader, his best friend, Zaquan Patterson, his fellow teammate, two of his teammates committed. And, you know, Kevin Beard's doing a hell of a job recruiting all the wideouts in South Florida and showing, hey, we can get these guys at a level where they're among the best in the country. I feel like that'll be the most intriguing one, and one that a lot of people keep their eye on towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and they won't give up on David Stone either.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. I got to slip one last one in. Who's the number one player on the team we have to recruit to stay after the end of a 10-win season that you both put me on to?
That's not committed yet? Are you talking about who's not committed yet?
Who's the number one player on the team at the end of a 10-win season we got to recruit to stay?
Oh, to stay?
Don't leave.
Tyler Van Dyke. Tyler Van Dyke. Without hands down, Tyler Van Dyke.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I feel like if you bring Tyler Van Dyke back next season, that's when you start saying, okay, I think Miami might have a chance to win the national, not even win the national championship, actually compete and be one of the favorites
and get to the playoffs. And he's one of the leaders for the going into the season for the Heisman.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Thanks for being part of the show. Last call of the night. Let's go to the 305. You're live on Kane Sport Live. 305, you with us? Going once, going twice. All right, it's going to be a wrap. I want to thank everybody that called in tonight. Great show, guys. A lot of interesting topics were discussed. If you missed any part of the show, we'll have the podcast up pretty quickly here. You can go back and listen. And let's see, the Canes go to Temple, play at Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field. It'll be an interesting little road trip. I'm expecting to see a lot of Canes fans up there. And then we will be back next Tuesday night on this show to talk about it. So for Azubi and everybody that called in tonight, I'm Gary. Thanks for being part of our show, everybody, and thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.